Today on Deep Dive into Water Safety, we're taking a closer look at snorkeling, an activity many people see as simple and safe, but one that research is now showing carries risks that aren't always visible. Our guest is Dr. Hannah Van Wart from the Department of Anesthesiology at the University of Auckland. She is co-author of a study examining how full face masks affect breathing in the water, working alongside of Jannike Grundmann, the study's lead author, and colleagues, including Simon J. Mitchell and Nicholas Gunt. This research shows how these masks can increase the risk of low oxygen hypoxemia and the elevated carbon dioxide hypercapnia during snorkeling. For Hawaii, where snorkeling is one of the most common ocean activities, this has real implications. It challenges assumptions and points directly to the need for clear evidence-based messaging. Today, we'll break down what the science actually shows, what people need to understand before they enter the water, and how this research can help prevent future strategies. Welcome to the show, Dr. Van Wart, finally.
Thanks for having me, Margaret.
So you're in
Very excited to
Auckland.
be
Are
here.
you in your office or at your home?
I'm at home at the moment.
Okay.
It's a nice and quiet environment instead of a whole garden full of co-workers.
Oh, good. And so it's tomorrow there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Is that correct?
8 a.m., but yes, it is the morning and
Oh, whoa. Oh,
we're
that's
1 day ahead of you.
yes. I guess because of the daylight savings time or something,
Yeah,
right? I'm
exactly.
okay. Well, let's get started. This has been an issue for us when we started this show almost a year ago. One of the issues I had is I saw a snorkeling study that was done here, and our water safety plan said that our visitors are snorkeling is the number one issue of any drowning, fatal or non-fatal. So then when I looked into the research, I went, this is crazy. We need to know more about this. And it seems like every month somebody's having an incident with snorkeling. And just yesterday on Hamana Bay in Oahu, a premier place for snorkeling, a woman was found unconscious, not very far from the beach. She was brought in around 10 o'clock. And unfortunately, the news today say that she died. She was in critical condition. There's no more information yet. So with your research, which is called Full Face Snorkel Masks Increase the Incidence of Hypoxemia and Hypercapnia During Simulated Snorkeling Compared to Conventional Snorkels. So I'm very interested to hear about this. This piece of research was in the Diving and Hyperbaric Medicine Journal, December 2023. So
Yes, correct.
let's start the conversation just with your background. Can you tell me about your background and what led you to study breathing and physiology in snorkeling environments? And what questions were you trying to answer when you began this research on full face masks? We'll start there.
So I'm an exercise scientist. I come from a background where I look into how being physically active can either influence health or what happens to our body in different environments. And so, particularly in diving medicine, what we're doing in the Department of Anesthesiology in Auckland with Simon Mitchell and Xavier Freydag, we're looking at how does the body change with diving and snorkeling, free diving, what happens in the body. And so actually, this full face snorkel mask is what I call one of my side fun little projects, which is not necessarily small or always fun in the way that the results are. But it started with a Christmas gift, actually, from my colleague. He came to me and he said, like, oh, I have this snorkel mask. My daughter was wearing it, and she had blue lips. Being a scientist as he was, he put a saturation monitor on her and found that she had desaturated to 60%. And he's like, I think you need to look into this. And so that's really what started that off. And like, this was one of those masks where it was a cheap knockoff through China. And we really thought, like, oh, that's just a form that wasn't correctly designed. We need to compare this to the original version. And we really thought that that one would be good and like well manufactured. So just as a like we didn't come into this with a whole bunch of biases like, oh, this is all shit. We really thought like, oh, this is like we have one example that's just a cheap knockoff which causes problems, and so we need to look into this. Well, and subsequently we can go through this in detail. We found a whole bunch of problems with actually all sorts of snorkel equipment. Just want to highlight for what you were saying, like people dying in the Hawaiian waters, because I think that's more than just these snorkel masks what we are talking about, right? Because loads of people come over to Hawaii and maybe they're not fit, healthy humans to start with. Then they go into the water and people forget that actually going into the water and even normal snorkeling or not even wearing any type of snorkel material is quite an exertion, and it can cause all sorts of cardiac troubles. And so part of what we're seeing is people being in this beautiful tropical environment and not being prepared to be in the water. That being said, I think Hawaii has shown that we have a big problem with these full face snorkel masks. So I'm very happy to go into this, but I just wanted to put that out there as a little disclaimer.
That's correct. And maybe you can talk about rapid onset pulmonary edema, which is another issue too, but we'll move on from here because it's a
I'll
little
leave that to
complicated.
someone else who is more subject matter expert on that field. But
Okay.
yeah, it's one of the many things that contribute to potential deaths in the water.
Right. So tell me about your study. What your study found increased. Tell me what you did. Tell me how you set it up. And
So
something, go ahead.
we invited 20 people to our exercise science lab in Auckland, and we had them sitting in a chair, then cycling very slowly, which is like just very casual swimming around equivalent. And then we had them cycling a little bit more intensely, which is like fighting a little bit of a current. And we were comparing this Sebeya, like good brand mask, then the Kwing Song, a generic Chinese mask, and a conventional snorkel, because we decided to compare these three together. And what we found, we were looking at hypercapnia, so higher levels of CO2, which can be very uncomfortable for people. Most people tend to like breathe more, become a little bit agitated, maybe have headaches, nausea, vomiting, those sort of things. And we were also measuring oxygen saturation. And that was like hypoxemia, meaning less oxygen in the body. And so we were measuring that to a degree of like 80%, and figuring out like most people actually don't notice too much. Some people will respond to it, but most people sort of fade away if you want. And so we were doing this sort of as a tiered thing, just sitting still in the chair, then light intensity exercise for 5 minutes. If there was no endpoint breached, we would go to the high intensity exercise. And so all in sort of one go, continuing onwards. And our endpoints were like end tidal CO2 rising above 7 kilopascal, which is much higher than you would normally have, which is more around like 4 to 5.5 kilopascal. So like quite an increase from normal value of hypercapnia. And then another safety endpoint was an oxygen saturation of below 85%. And so what we found within those 5 minutes, we had 30% during light exercise that we needed to stop because of the increased hypercapnia. And then another 30% we needed to stop during the high intensity exercise. So only 30% of our participants was able to complete that whole 15 minutes of breathing on that mask without increasing their CO2, so becoming hypercapnic. And
Wow.
that actually one of the things, so like that's a huge thing in itself, right? And
Yeah.
but one of the things that we found quite scary is that a whole bunch of people were actually also desaturating. And when you're increasing your exercise level, the thing that your body does is sort of you breathe a little more, you breathe a little deeper, and then so you can sort of, if there's not enough oxygen in this mask, with a big tidal volume, so a big breath, you can sort of restore that a little bit. And so that's what we saw. We saw it going down, and then people were taking this big breath and it was going up again. But what we saw is that in that hypoxia, like hypoxia was happening for quite a number of people, and even some people almost making the threshold of desaturating down to 85%, as in like 86 for half a minute. We really thought like, oh, we need to stop
Stop.
this condition. But then they're taking that deep breath and it sort of restores a little bit.
Let's.
So yeah, huge problems in physiological sense that we saw here.
And this was with the full face mask or with all the.
Well, the 68% was with the full face snorkel masks, indeed. And I want to stress here that a normal snorkel isn't just exempt from all of this. Like, actually, about 30% in total, we also had to stop with a conventional snorkel. And so, if you're just breathing through this tube, it makes a lot of sense, right? There is a dead space, usually for a normal snorkel, that's about 160 milliliters. And so, if you're just keeping breathing from there, if you do this with small lung volume, you're basically inhaling and exhaling the same amount of air. And so it makes sense that you'll have an increase in CO2 and that your oxygen levels may even drop. And that's where I think the bigger issue is with these full face snorkel masks. Like, they're designed in a really beautiful way, as in theoretically, you have this one way system where air comes in through the top. You'll have an eye pocket. This is, should all be fresh air, no breathing movement. And then through one-way valves, it goes into an oral nasal pocket. So your nose and your mouth are in there. And then it exhales through the sides up the tube again, which is not connected at all to the inhalation. And so theoretically, you shouldn't be inhaling and exhaling in the same environment, save for maybe that oral nasal pocket, which in itself has already a dead space of about 250 milliliters, so slightly more than a normal snorkel. But what we find, and this is where it becomes really problematic, is actually we see breathing in that eye pocket with all of our participants. So we made sure that the mask was fitting perfectly, correctly on the outsides, tested this with, like, can you draw a vacuum, and so it was fitting the face really well. But then people all have different faces, and so it doesn't necessarily mean that that internal skirt is a perfect fit, or those one-way valves, if something is wrong, if there is some sand in there, like that wasn't the case in our study. But you can imagine in normal life, there could be little things in there or other ways that they malfunction, and then you're actually breathing in and out through that oral nasal pocket, and all of a sudden, this dead space of about 250 milliliters can become way over a liter. And this is where, like, if you're taking a tidal volume breath and you have big lungs, this might be okay for you, but especially smaller people or people who take smaller breaths or children, for example, they don't have that tidal volume. And so you're just breathing in and out through this same pocket of air. And like one person said, like, oh, so you just need to remember to take a big breath every now and then. And I'm like, I'm not sure whether I want my life to rely on me remembering that I need to take a big breath every now and then to stay alive.
Well, these are really, this is a technical issue that you're talking about. So maybe you can tell me 250 milliliters versus 150. And then we're talking about the size of the person. It sounds like these are serious breathing apparatuses, not just some, thing I take in the ocean to look at whatever. Is that
It
correct?
is one of the things that Rachel Lance, she published another paper on full face snorkel masks and their safety. And I are advocating for perhaps these snorkel masks shouldn't just be advertised as toys, but they're breathing apparatus. And so, what if we can make sure that it falls on those regulations? Because then we can flip this narrative on its head where manufacturers need to prove actually, this is a safe device to be used for snorkelers all around the world, rather than this other narrative where people are like, oh, we need more information that it's not safe. We have
Right.
a couple of studies that raise serious concerns. So maybe we can flip this on its head and like, hey, manufacturers, could we make sure that how you've designed this is safe for everyone to use? Because like, again, in theory, this mask presents a beautiful opportunity. And I think it's really great if more people could see the underwater world. It's a very free type of experience where you've got a very wide vision. Like the theory of this is perfect. I just think there is some serious safety concerns with the way it is now. And so registering this as a breathing apparatus would really flip that, because one of the other concerns that we find, and that's really different from snorkeling. I mean, you've probably seen this. If people go snorkeling with a conventional snorkel, half of the time the snorkel is out of their mouth and they're blah blah blah, and they're taking gulps of fresh air basically. With this full face snorkel mask, it's like wrapped around your head with some elastic bands. And we asked these participants to take off the snorkel mask after they were done, either because they became too hypercapnic or because they had reached the end of their 15 minutes.
Right.
And everyone was struggling to get this device off their face. And this is on land, they have a sturdy environment. What if you're swimming and you're like, oh, I just want to take a gulp of fresh air, and you can't actually get it off very easily? Or when you've got it off, put it back on. So you're like, oh, I'll keep it on. And this makes that you don't actually have those breaks of fresh air and like normal barrier type of gulps. And so I think that actually sort of accelerates this problem and why we see more issues with people wearing these full face snorkel masks.
So, with the exercise physiology experience you are as a doctor in this area, explain to me simply how people can understand about breathing and then maybe breathing carbon dioxide, correct? That's what would be happening. Can you kind of make this a
Yeah,
little
so
simpler here?
we
Because Laura Trapani it did a study with young children, and her very simple study was people that end up in the emergency room. And what she came out of that was that a lot of these masks say don't use under the age of 5, but she said it's not the age, it's the weight of the child based on their lung capacity. So all this
Yeah,
is
so you mean
intriguing.
that the case report series from
Yes,
Lara Trapani?
yes,
Yeah,
yes.
it's like three young children, like
Yes.
4, 5, and 6,
Right.
who all ended up in the emergency department with what we all think is hypercapnic hypoxemia. So it means like they had elevated levels of CO2 in their body, but then also not enough oxygen. And so they could see like these children had blue lips. And so really, yeah, cyanotic, like not enough oxygen in their body. Luckily, all of them were brought in on time, was noticed on time,
Right.
and so they were revived. They're fine and they're well. But all three of them were wearing this full face snorkel masks. And this is where she went into like, hey, what has happened to these children? And it sort of highlights what we are afraid of, that especially if you have smaller lungs, your tidal volume, or like the volume of the breath that you're taking, is small. And so like 0.5 liter, 1 liter of what you're just breathing in and out. If you have really big lungs, it might be up to 2 liters. And what this means, if you're wearing this full face mask, if it is indeed one big bag, basically, so instead of just breathing in air in and out as you and I are doing now, we're breathing through this big bag where we need to first move all the air that's in that space. So if that space is up to 1.6 liters, you can see that if you're this big, taking these big breaths, you have a lot of lung capacity, that you might be able to move all that air and that you will get some fresh air in and you'll have some sense of normal breathing. But then if you have these smaller lungs or you're taking smaller breaths, you're basically just moving in and out of this big bag and there is no refreshment of air. And so
Wow.
because of our physiology, we consume oxygen, so the oxygen content goes down, and we expel CO2, so the CO2 content goes up. And so this environment that we're breathing in and out from has less and less oxygen and more CO2. And so we're still breathing the same environment, and we're still decreasing oxygen, and we're still increasing CO2. And so these two together form this huge problem where, at a certain point in time, it's no longer safe for us to be breathing this anymore. And this is what we see in this paper by Trapani. Like, she showed that for one of them, they were able to put on a saturation monitor quite quickly, and that saturation had dropped to the early 80s for this one child. And so we can see that this is indeed happening. Like, the oxygen saturation in that body goes down, and the hypercapnia, sorry, like the CO2 content in that body goes up, just because we can't ventilate this with fresh air.
Wow.
And so this is where this thing with lung capacity becomes a real issue. Like, possibly this full face mask would be really good for really big tidal volume breathers, because, like, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that when you're a big person you'll be all right. That was our initial hypothesis. But even, like, big dudes with big tidal or big lung capacity were desaturating and had problems with hypercapnia. This is because that tidal volume, so your ability to move in and out air and thereby grabbing fresh air, which has the right amount of oxygen in there and the low amount of carbon dioxide. And so, yeah, this is where that physiology, especially for younger children, is a real big issue and a real threat to their lives.
So this kind of is kind of alarming. So can you tell
Kinda.
me something? Because you said 30% of the people that were in your study with regular snorkels had problems. So explain to me
Correct.
why that would happen. I mean, I'm understanding the full face mask. So let's.
So a snorkel is still a tube that you're breathing in and out of, right? And so we still have this confined amount of space that you need to move the air out and the air in. And so you're still exhaling in this one dead space, as we call it. So there's no refreshment in that space, and we're still inhaling a little bit of what we exhaled. And so even though a snorkel has a smaller dead space, like the 160 milliliters, like on average, it still is 160 milliliters that we're exhaling and then inhaling again. And so this is where even that can be quite problematic. Like, we saw that about 30% in our cohort were getting increased numbers of CO2, and even some people who had decreased levels of oxygen. And that actually makes a lot of sense to me, because you're still inhaling and exhaling through this one volume. And as we said, if you have smaller lung volumes, this will happen. So you'll inhale and exhale basically the same thing. And if you don't take deep breaths enough, it's still not refreshing enough for you to actually have that refreshment in your lungs, right? But this is where I think it differs quite significantly from how people are normally snorkeling with a conventional snorkel, so a tube, and these full face snorkel masks. With the tube, you can basically spit it out. And you frequently see this when people are snorkeling around. They come up, there's some water in there, or whatever, and they spit it out, and they're talking to their buddies, like, "Oh, did you see that?" And like, there is fresh air coming in and out.
Right.
You've stopped that breathing in and out through that dead space for a little while. And this is where it becomes much more problematic with the full face snorkel masks, which we see that people have to wear the whole time because it's very difficult to get it off their face. And so
Right.
there's less availability or options to take a fresh breath in between.
Can you say anything about age or physical fitness in terms of mass based on your study? What was the age of your study group?
We had I would need to look this up, Margaret.
I'm sorry.
How old were they on average?
I
But we
think
had
I
a fairly
saw, but
30
I
40
know
years old.
that you're talking about if you have any compromising conditions. That's going to affect snorkeling. You said that before we started.
Yeah, and so in our study, because this was sort of the first tier of what we do, and so we wanted to have very healthy participants. Like, just
Okay.
looked it up, but on average, they're 33 years old. The oldest was just below, like around 50, and then we had some people who were around 20. And so there's this adulthood, healthy volunteers that participated in our study. That means that they had compliant lungs, have a lot of volume in their lungs. I mean, we did screen to get a lot of smaller females because we thought, like, oh, that's sort of the first step towards maybe children, because this is what we were really worried about after this Christmas gift from my colleague.
Right.
But because it's quite difficult to do research with children, we couldn't necessarily go there straight away. We thought, like, oh, if we show that it's okay for adults, we can then look into children. But then we found, actually, this is already quite a big problem with adults. And so now doing the same thing in children, that poses quite a bit of ethical problems. But what we found that even in our healthy cohort, we had all these issues. Now, if you have additional things, like if you have COPD or you may have an underlying cardiac
Condition.
thing that you're not aware of, condition, thank you, or any other types of things where there is maybe less compliance in your lungs, so it will take a little bit more effort for you to be breathing, like COPD, but there's many other things. And then this might actually become more problematic because you won't be able to take the tidal volume breaths, so the normal breaths, as easily. So it will take more respiratory efforts, more effort to be breathing versus someone who was in our study
You're
with
right.
compliant, very healthy lungs.
So
And so what we
what
would
would you?
expect, sort of thinking, like, what is that, those problems for people with underlying health issues and/or smaller lungs would exacerbate from what we've seen.
So in most cases, a lot of people would know they had an underlying condition, possibly. And what would be the symptoms of hypoxemia and hypercapnia that people should be aware of? Right, because they're not going to know. They all of a sudden, what are the symptoms?
So hypercapnia is sort of the easier one. This is where people usually experience a higher breathing rate. Funnily enough, not all people can notice this from themselves. Like, we did a study where it was entirely a different reason, but we asked people basically to breathe in and out from this bag as a diving apparatus, and asking them, is this okay? Is like the CO2 normal levels. And even if people were, they're like, yeah, this is fine, this is normal. And so not everyone sort of realizes when they're actually breathing more, but this is one of the symptoms of hypercapnia. Then another thing is that, and this varies a little bit across people, because some people can become really agitated, a little bit like nervous or a bit angry type of thing, where and like heart racing. So these are sort of all in that area of like hyper exciting type of things. But then we have another group, and they don't actually increase their breathing at all, and they sort of seem fine. They don't notice that there is a difference, and their body sort of is like, okay, whatever, I'll let this CO2 rise. I don't need to breathe, because this is what normally regulates our breathing. Higher levels of CO2 normally is this signal to our brains, like, actually, we need to get rid of this CO2. We need to increase our breathing, because by increased ventilation, we can expel all these CO2. So, like, various things, and we don't know who is a bloater or a breather. So, like, a bloater or a puffer. Like, we don't know if people will respond with this increased breathing or sort of let it be. Then hypoxemia, that's the real issue, because most people will not respond to this at all. The oxygen levels in your body and in your brain will slowly decrease, and you'll sort of slowly fade away. And so a lot of people don't even notice that something is wrong. Because very slowly your brain is basically shutting off. And this can sort of explain why we find some of these people in the water not necessarily distressed. And so what's likely that could have happened is that their oxygen levels were just going down, they just shut off, and they stopped moving. There are a couple of people for whom this is the other way around, where for some reason their physiology makes their heart race or very uncomfortable. So I don't like, and they might be able to rescue themselves. But I think, a very long story short, there is not a set of symptoms that we can watch out for and, like, okay, if you notice these, then you're in trouble. If you don't, you're fine. It can very much be that you have a body that doesn't respond to any of this, and that you'll just br be breathing in an environment that's unsafe for you,
I think
without you
this is
noticing.
amazing information for a piece of equipment. As your colleague has called, we got to stop looking at this as some toy that we take into the ocean. It truly is a breathing apparatus. So I think everybody should know this kind of information so they're much more aware of what they're purchasing, where they're going, and their own body themselves, right? So that speaks to
Totally agree, Margaret.
what we were saying. You said we've done this research. I mean, I will talk to Ralph Godo later this afternoon, who was part of the snorkeling study. I talked to Dr. Trapani. I can talk to the researchers you've talked about, and your study is amazing. So why is it on us to tell people not to use this when they're manufacturing things that appear not to be very safe? So,
And I mean, this is where that narrative has changed, right? Because it's not part of that breathing apparatus legislation. And
yes.
I think it's amazing what you they've been doing in Hawaii, actually sort of trying to unravel, like, hey,
Right.
how much is this an issue? Are people in trouble? How many are dying, like,
Yes.
from snorkeling itself? Because like, as I said previously, snorkeling itself is not necessarily safe for everyone, right? So,
Right.
like, I think it's very good to have some safety awareness of your physical condition and what you can do when you go into the water. It sounds so, like, calm and nice, but, like, snorkeling itself can be quite a challenging environment for you to be in. But then for them to have looked at, like, actually, there's a lot of things going on with people snorkeling and using devices like this full face snorkel mask. And so amazing work that they've been doing in sort of pulling that together and getting all these people on board, which like fantastic. But I really do think that we should flip this coin on its head rather than users showing like, hey, maybe this is not entirely safe.
Right.
We should have the manufacturers prove like actually what we've made for people to be using in the ocean and trust their lives on, this is safe for them to use. And I can see a way that this could be. And maybe there are some masks out there that could be safe. But from the research that we have done, that Rachel Lance has done with her group, and that we see from these case report series, I'm not sure that I can trust all of these full face masks to be sold and be safe for everyone. And so I do think that we need this appropriate disclaimer that we need to make sure that these manufacturers can show us this is designed in such a way that it's safe for everyone. And I think this is where it's a very challenging thing for them to be making because we all have different faces, we all have different cheekbones, lines in our face, then we smile underwater. I mean,
Right.
who won't? And
There
like
was a
all these
product
things can
recall.
already
Go ahead.
influence the fit of these masks. And so like they do have a very challenging thing, but I like it could possibly be done, but then it needs to be the other way around. The manufacturers need to show to us this is safe to use.
Well, there was all one recalled. I think I sent you the information on that. Oh, USPT full face masks. It can cause consumers to experience labored breathing, loss of consciousness, and excess fluid in the lungs that can lead to drowning. In addition, the mask can give rise to increased levels of carbon dioxide, which can exacerbate the difficulty of breathing in the mask. The consumer protection urges consumers to stop using the full face snorkel mask and immediately dispose of them. Do not sell or give away these hazardous full face snorkel masks. It can't be the only one, right?
Well, and I think we've shown in our study that it isn't the only one.
Right.
But I do applaud them for taking the action and actually realizing, like, hey, we tried to have this beautiful thing. It's not working. It might harm people. This is not the right way to go about it. And so, like, huge applause for these manufacturers that have actually realized, like, okay, no, this, we need to change something. And I wish that all manufacturers could look at themselves that way and think like, okay, how can we make this safe? Is this a device that can be safe? And I see that a lot of manufacturers have maybe gone down this rabbit hole for a very long time, and it might be very difficult for them to change this perspective. But I really, really hope, and then I'm talking to the manufacturers in specific, like make something that is safe for everyone. Or maybe we need to acknowledge that there has to be something different, so that we don't have these incidents and these deaths, because that's on them.
Right. And we're struggling with the fact that we'd like to see more data. And I know you say, we don't need more research, and maybe we don't need more data, but it'd be interesting to know of all the incidents that we have and visitors, snorkeling is the number one incident they have, non-fatal or fatal here. What kind of mask were they using, right? Did they fly a long distance, which the snorkel safety feels they don't have enough information to talk about snorkel incident, rapid onset pulmonary edema, right? Which all relates to oxygen and carbon dioxide ability in the lungs. What kind of mask were they using? What age group? All of that. Because we seem to think here that it's an older person who's getting in trouble, but I don't know what kind of mask they're using. And you have said that even in a regular snorkel, the tube could be different, and there may be better ones to use than others. Is that correct?
Correct. Like Margaret, I don't want to pose that it's not needed to look into this snorkeling or water-related incidents at all. I think this is a very good thing, and like we can tease out things like, hey, maybe just going into the water straight after flying, or the other way around, might not be the best way, or be rested, those sort of things. Like, are there contributing factors that maybe we're still unaware of, or maybe we are aware, but this is data to support this? I think that's a great initiative, and we really should be doing this. What I don't think that we need more data on, or that we need to prove our claim, is very particularly to these full face masks. Like, we have some studies that show that there are issues with this. Yes, there is some data that people have come get into trouble using these. Can we flip this? Can we please flip this, that the manufacturers can show us this is a safe device to be using, rather than putting it out in the world? Like, I've asked for their safety measurements, and what I got is very limited information, with maybe just one breath where they said, like, oh yeah, there was no issue on this mannequin. And like, this is where, again, I think this is the issue. We have all these different faces that seemingly need to fit a couple of these sizes, and then they're all perfect. Maybe it is that certain full face snorkel masks are only suitable for certain types of faces, and you first need to make sure that this is the perfect fit for you. Or I don't know how that would be, but maybe we could flip that around, and that should be with the manufacturers. The data itself, it can teach us a lot of things, but I don't think that this should be a step for the utilization of very particularly these full face masks. It will show us many other things, which is really valuable. And so, yeah, I'm totally and 100% encouraged for these sort of cohort studies where we're following up on all these people to continue and to
Right.
tease out more of these other things that you and I have been talking briefly about, like pulmonary edema, other underlying cardiac issues. Are there other things that maybe it's not the best place for you to be in the water? I mean, I'm really under stress. I'm a lover of water, and I would really love for so many people to experience what it is like underwater, because like, so much beauty there that for many people is unknown because it's below the water surface and we don't see it. So making that available to people is a very, very fantastic idea, and like, people will care more about what is underneath all of that water. But maybe we can think about how we can do that safely. And so for many snorkelers, there can be all these issues. That's where that cohort study really comes into play. For this full face mask, I think we should have the manufacturer show us, is it safe to use? And by encouraging those manufacturers, I think this should fall under the breathing apparatus standard. Like, there are international rules, what we could expect from a breathing apparatus, and I think if we can let that fall under those regulations, that these could be much, much safer.
Boy, I really agree with that. There are international rules for breathing apparatus. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct.
So,
NAN wounds.
I like your idea. I think it should be back on the manufacturers to show how they could make something safe and to fall under those rules. What would be your next step in that? How should we proceed, do you think?
Raising more awareness that maybe not all these full face snorkel masks are safe. And
Yeah.
as it currently stands, I wouldn't necessarily recommend people to be using these full face snorkel masks.
Right. What's going on in New Zealand? I haven't asked you about that. Do you have issues with snorkeling there? And do people use full face masks? They come as a tourist, just like they do in Hawaii?
I think it's slightly less of a thing here, but it is a thing. It's not too long ago where we had someone admitted to the intensive care unit with after a snorkel mask incident. He's luckily okay, but like, I think this is a worldwide issue. We just have less people because it's not the same tropical environment, and so we don't have hordes of people coming in to experience this tropical environment as Hawaii has. And so I think seeing a lot of this issue sort of culminating in Hawaii makes a lot of sense to me, because there will be a lot of people who go into the water who may not be avid water people, and experiencing all this beauty beneath the surface, and possibly thinking like, hey, this full face snorkel mask, it offers a lot of potential because you can breathe from your nose, from your mouth, you can see everything. It's like, as I said, in theory, a beautiful device.
What would you say to our listeners and people that come here? Because I see them every day. They're excited to come here. It is paradise. The ocean's beautiful. It's warm. I don't know if they're bringing their own equipment or they're buying it online or a store here, but I see them come. Not everybody's using full face. What would you tell people about snorkeling in general? Whether they're using a simple mask or a full face, which you say no one should use, what would you say to everyone who's going to be snorkeling here in Kauai, in Hawaii?
First and foremost, enjoy. The underwater world is beautiful and perfect, but just make sure that you feel confident to be in the water. Buddy up, like have people with you, because if something goes wrong, you may not be able to notice this with yourself. Check in with each other. If you have a person there right next to you, they may be able to be your life-saving person. So not snorkeling alone, I think that's a really helpful, powerful thing where you can have an eye out for each other. And maybe not use the full face snorkel mask. And have a breath every now and then of normal fresh air, even if you're using a conventional snorkel, like a snorkeling tube.
Right. Do you have any preferences for the regular snorkel
No, I don't.
here? None
I
at all.
think there's a lot of them, like different variations. The longer or the wider the tube, the more dead space it will have. So you need to take deeper breaths in and out. You have all these ones with water traps that, in theory, could make it easier for not a lot of water to be trapped in that snorkel. I mean, in the end, it is a bit of a preference. I think if you throw it out often enough, there is an okay chance that you'll be okay with the normal snorkel. But like, it's, as I said, it's not a guarantee that that has no issues. So yeah, just people being aware that it is actually really helpful to spit it out every now and then and take a normal breath.
Well, I think Dr. Van Wart, you've explained to us in detail how these breathing apparatuses, which I'd like to call them, work. And I think people need to have more information and maybe some education about how to use them. And you're saying that full face masks you would highly recommend not using, and that the manufacturers should take responsibility for what they're making to make something safe for people to use when they're in the water. All of that makes sense. I really appreciate it, and we're going to continue our amplifying of this message. And hopefully, when we get experienced professionals like you coming on and saying, I wouldn't recommend a full face mask, maybe we'll start getting somewhere, right? And
Hopefully.
yes. Hopefully. So I think what the research continues to show here, both internationally and here in Hawaii, is that many snorkeling incidents are not caused by a single event, but by a combination of small factors that build quietly over time, based on our understanding of breathing apparatuses. I want to thank Dr. Van Wart for helping bring this into focus. One of the most important, often overlooked factors is equipment. A properly fitting mask should create a secure seal without leaking or constant adjustment. Poor fit can lead to water intrusion, distraction, and anxiety. Snorkels that are unfamiliar or difficult to clear can add to that stress, especially for first-time users. What Dr. Van Wart has told us today is that she, in her research, and the data shows it with her colleagues, that she does not recommend full face masks. The research conducted here in Hawaii reinforces these same patterns. Many incidents involve visitors unfamiliar with ocean conditions, overestimating their ability, and entering the water without preparation. There's also a growing understanding of rapid onset distress, including physical and cardiac related events that can occur without warning, as Dr. Van Wart has just said. And importantly, many incidents happen close to shore during entry or exit, even though it appears calm, but may have a surge or current or reef hazards. And this is why research matters. It moves us beyond assumptions and into evidence, helping us understand not just what happens, but why. The understanding allows us to improve messaging, change behavior, and ultimately save lives. And what Dr. Van Wart has said over and over in this discussion, we need to turn this around. We don't need more research. It's all very good that we study it, but the manufacturers should be held responsible for creating equipment that's safe. And right now, what the research and the data points to is that full face masks are not safe. The
I just
takeaway
want to
is
clarify that
simple.
it's safe for everyone.
Right, for everyone. Snorkeling may look easy, but it requires water competency, the right equipment properly fitted, flotation support, and an awareness to never go alone. So thank you, Dr. Van Wart. Would you like to add to that ending?
No, thank you for summarizing that quite accurately. I think like one of the key things that we can do as snorkelers is don't go alone. Go in with others. I mean, it's more fun if you share the experience, but also if something goes wrong, you have another person there who might be able to help you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Van Wart. Hope to see you again in this discussion with good news about manufacturers.
That would be great, Margaret.